Welcome, everyone. Now we will be looking at 4702 West Virginia. The project is at sketch plan. As always, the meeting is being recorded and the recordings will go on the website. Are there any points, Grace, that staff wants to make to help guide the discussion?
This project, it's kind of a weird one because it's one of the first on the Eastern Greenway portion of Bethesda, and so the applicant is wrestling with the fact that this lot is sort of flanked by a parking lot that's that the master plan calls for parks, and then the corner lot where it also shows green space. And so right now that corner lot is occupied by a single family dwelling, and they don't own that property yet. I think they're working on it. So this property is sort of stuck in the middle of that, and they're trying to figure out how to best handle the recommendations of the master plan along with what they would like to do on their site. So.
Great, thank you. And if you could try to keep the presentation to about 10 to 15 minutes, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good morning. Bob Dalrymple with Linnes and Blocker, attorney for the applicant, and I'll ask our team to identify themselves.
Shane Crowley, principal of Broad Branch Development.
Jason Weinstein, principal of Broad Branch Development.
Pat LeVay, MHG.
Dennis Connors, SKNI Architects.
Andy Chakowski, SKNI Architects.
And Matt Gordon, Linnes and Blocker.
So I think that Grace appropriately labeled this as kind of a strange one. We're in the northern part of the downtown Bethesda area on the east side of Wisconsin Avenue, and there was quite a bit of attention paid to this part of the town through the sector plan, and in particular the relationship of these properties to the more urban parts of Bethesda to the west and west of Wisconsin Avenue, and also the transition of the property to very well-established single-family neighborhood to the east, and how that all plays out. There was a proposed greenway that lines this section, this district, if you will, of the downtown area along Tilbury Street, and then with varying recommendations for properties between that greenway and Wisconsin Avenue. So what makes this truly a challenge is to have a property that is first up to come out of the gate without having the greenway in place. There are strategies for getting the greenway in place, but more than that, I think the design of this project has to be such that it allows for the incorporation of the greenway, since we don't control that property. And Grace is correct. These gentlemen have been working very hard to try to acquire the site to the east in order to better incorporate that greenway, and also the Chase Park to the south of this. And we have a county parking garage to the left of the screen that you're looking at, which is to the west. Possibilities, I suppose, for, you know, bigger assemblages, but that's for a different day. We're here on this site. We have worked with staff quite a bit. I think the project got off to a little bit of a bad start, and that there were some misunderstandings, I think, in terms of what it is that is trying to be accomplished in this area and what the unit type is and the product that's being delivered. So this is different. It's certainly different from any project that I've had before this DAP, since the DAP was brought into being after the sector plan. But I think it's also providing a need for downtown Bethesda that's consistent with the urban environment and yet gives dwellers some choices here. So. There has been, again, a lot of attention paid to the orientation of the units. The proposal is for 8 dwelling units. They will be condos, but it'll be condos from the sense of being more like townhouse units with two, the NCAP units of more traditional multifamily type. So with that, I think I'll just turn it over to Andy and let him walk you through it, and what, just one other important element, which is that when this was initially filed, it was with 50 feet of building height, and there's a, the sector plan is somewhat confusing, even for those of us who lived through it, in terms of building height with a greenway and building height without a greenway and how that transition works. So since we're not being able to deliver the greenway with this project yet, at least, the building height was reduced from 50 to 35 feet and the orientation of the units were changed in order to better address the ultimate build out of this area. Paul certainly has his fingerprints on this, whether he wants to admit it or not. But I think it has emerged as a better project since the time that we initially filed it. So with that, this time.
Quick question on the greenway thing. So if the project had that other parcel and the greenway was part of it, would the height go higher? Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily, but it could.
I mean, it changes the dynamics of how the sector plan. Laura could probably speak better to it since she wrote it.
We can get answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, the height is limited to whatever the size of the greenway is. So if they provide 40 feet of greenway, then it can go to 40 feet. But since they're not providing any greenway at all, they're limited to the minimum height, which was 35 feet.
Which is comparable to a single family house in R60.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that was the starting point, the restarting point, was to consider this as a hypothetical future, right? So the greenway, we have to kind of consider this with the greenway as it would potentially be there. And so in thinking that way, you know, obviously West Virginia's to the north, Tilbury's to the east, and there's actually a paper alley to the south between the Chase Avenue Urban Park and the property. So the big idea was then to how do we, where's the address, where's the frontage, how can this building respond to this new context, if you will. Imagining that this house is sitting in the greenway and that at some point it will not be there. So with those ideas in mind, we really only have access from the north. And you'll see it in the plans. We do have it's a series of eight units with a on top of a below grade garage. We have a singular address on West Virginia, but then the units themselves line and face the front. They front this new greenway, as well as we turn the corner to the south and then provide access. And go to the next page on the south end on this potential alley. And so as you can see in this site plan here. You can see the outline of the existing house, but we really need to kind of think that in the future that house will not be there. So then this could then end up being a neighborhood park that would connect, down to the Chase Urban Park. So we're surrounded by park on two sides. We'd be redoing the streetscape on West Virginia in line with the sector plan, and then providing a small jump lobby that would take you either down to the garage or up to shared common walkway that lines the park. And what we've done is then proposed a series of stoops in the property in that setback that could lead down to a series of paths that would then connect to that neighborhood park. And then likewise, that would come down and then turn the corner, and we could provide an alley. The alley could turn into a walkway as well with direct access to these units as well. And you can see here, there's a garage plan below, a typical plan, and then we are showing pop-ups.
Roof access.
I'll let Dennis talk about the...
Sure, just a little bit more detail. So that transition between the height from the sidewalk level and to access the first floor of the unit is about 3 feet. Typical with a single-family house as you get up to a porch. And as Andy mentioned, the lobby is here. The majority of the units have direct access elevators down to their parking below as well. There's more than eight spaces to serve every dwelling. And then up above, there's very minimal roof access, which you can see in the section. So there you can see the inline units are fronting the potential greenway, and
parking buried below, and there's a slight light well setback from the parking lot to the west, and there's the height 35 feet. These are some precedents that we looked at. It wasn't so much that we were thinking of this as a townhouse or a condo or something else. It was really trying to understand what is this actual typology that transitions down from the Wisconsin Avenue corridor to the single family neighborhood. There really are no typologies like that now. So we were more interested in scale, setting a base and a top, and creating a sense of a cohesive architecture that responded to the different contextual elements, the streetscape, the park, and then the neighboring through block connection. So some of these precedents take into account those things that interest us.
And using that, because it is obviously it's a townhouse scale, using familiar materials, masonry, metal panel, metal cornices, metal bays. So it's kind of taking a familiar kit of parts, creating a universal, like a singular building type, and then differentiating with the syncopation of bays and projections. And so we've then rendered it with sort of these like soft watercolor renderings. So this is a view on West Virginia, the small pop-up lobby or garage entrance to go down, and then the series of stoops that face the greenway, and then obviously the residential scale architecture on that greenway.
And the building has appropriate setbacks where it makes sense to form the corners at two locations, both facing the street and the park side, and then internal to break up that elevation and identify where the entries of those units are. You can see it in the other views.
Where's the property line between where the existing single family house is and then your property line in this render?
The property line is right there.
Wow. That's right where the stairs are. Yeah. Oh.
And I think that's been the kind of the big challenge all along is how do we, because the sector plan suggests that this is a front, right? So we have West Virginia as a front, we have this new greenway as a front. You know, there's some technical things that we need to work out with the staff and county and how that edge can behave. And I think we've even talked about maybe having options. If, you know, this is a sort of the best case scenario where we'd have stoops and access where we get everyone to get down into the park. It's much more inviting, but it could also have a different edge, potentially maybe a landscaped edge, and then just have the access on West Virginia or on the alley on the south.
So this is at a sketch plan level. Mm-hmm. We greatly revised the original sketch plan to reflect what's seen today, but in fact it did come full circle since the beginning. At our very first meeting with the county, we were talking about activating the frontages on all three sides. And after going through the process, we arrived at the same conclusion again, but at a more appropriate scale. And this is where we are now. It's highly articulated, but that's to help explain the character and the nature of the scale of the project. It would be very hard to explain this project without showing that articulation at this time.
So at this point, though, the intermediate stairs would not be built, correct? Those would not be built until that house goes away.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we could probably provide some sort of knockout panel. If this was truly the design that we wanted to,
something probably would have to be incorporated in the construction.
You'd have a stair at the front on the street, and you have a stair at the back on the park.
Those would be permanent.
So
yeah.
What's on the bottom floor?
What's on the bottom? Yeah.
Are these bedrooms or living spaces or elevated, or how's the townhouses working?
On the lower level.
Yeah, lower level.
Lower level would be living, kitchen.
So you got everybody kind of walking by people's windows to get to the units, right?
Yeah,
that's units, correct.
Yeah.
No public.
Hmm? Well, public. No.
Well, tenants, neighbors, right?
Your neighbors.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, it's very similar to a townhouse, urban townhouse.
Without the elevators.
So I think just think of it as a townhouse with shared below grade parking, correct?
That's correct.
I guess there are cases where the townhouse's bottom floor is right at the sidewalk and you walk by.
On it.
Yeah, but it's not a street. It's
no, I'm trying to
visualize.
I'm trying to visualize where or what this is like in some location in the area.
It's not like a Muse, and it's not like a.
It's Baltimore townhouse.
The lot 31 does it. They're apartment units, but they function kind of as towns, and the back of that fronts on the. On the connection between Woodmont and Crescent Trail?
Well, a good example is we were involved with a project called Buchanan Park, which is down in Capitol Hill. And there's an existing school that we turned into a condominium. And there was a roughly 15-foot wide pathway or so, maybe less at certain points, widened at certain locations. But there were new townhouse units that fronted that school. They're taller. But that experience, that space, it's open to the public. So that's an example in this area. Other examples are in Philadelphia, in North Liberties and those types of areas where there are these new vertical townhouse dwellings being built almost right up to the sidewalk.
It's not atypical.
But they're not. They're very high quality. houses, and the experience is more about the vertical nature of the house and getting up to your rooftop.
I think the new development at Rock Spring is probably very similar because it's fronting onto a major.
Yeah, that's another example.
So there's no external personal space for the units. There's no balconies, no reentry
rooftop.
Balcony,
they're rooftop
only
terraces.
The rooftop.
Yep.
Terrace.
Okay. Otherwise, it's a very taut building.
Correct.
And there is the possibility that this would be built without the greenway being in the
yeah, that's exactly where I was about
that's,
to go.
That's
so like that, here are my kind of thoughts on this. I think what you have, that last rendering you showed, I like the general concept of this project, like taking a single family house and replacing it with, you know, 8 to 10 townhomes, whatever. I think that's good for this location. But, and this is a big but, if you don't get that house, I think you have to show this project and design this project for what it would look like if that house stays.
Well, there's your
boy. Unless you're very close to getting that other part.
Or you have two schemes.
I mean, we're in the process of it, and when we had met with Paul and Grace last week or 2 weeks ago, we had talked about going into site plan with, you know, two different options.
Option A, option B.
I mean, we have a pretty cool design for the combined site. Which delivers the entire greenway and the 35-foot greenway, and it is not a taller building. It's still 35 feet. We believe that this design, as it is currently, is planning for a future greenway if, for whatever reason, the lady next door continues to be a bit unreasonable, as she has been for the last year. And so, you know, Paul had mentioned his comments were, let's try and activate the frontages on Chase Avenue Park. Let's activate the frontage towards the east, so that if the future greenway is built, you know, those units will be activated by that greenway, and that we've tried to do that with this design currently. You know, we believe that once we close on this property, we're obviously in a much better position to continue the negotiations with the lady next door. It's been tough.
There are no plans for the county to acquire this for the purpose of
We haven't initiated that consideration yet, but I mean, there's always a possibility. We just haven't started that discussion, and you know, one of the first things that we started with, I think, with a lot of the plans, is if we can get things through dedication or through a plan approval process, then we would, but that doesn't mean that we can't go out and buy properties.
What's the status of the parking lot to the other side?
As I understood it from Bob, is that the county was looking at not only that parking lot, but using the other part, combining both parking lots in terms of disposition, right?
Yeah, that's been the early read from them, is that they want to see both parking lots be part of something. But I think that they've also made it very clear that those parking lots are, you know, are intended through the master plan to be parks.
So a freestanding building surrounded by parks. Well, that won't be a park.
That's weird.
What won't be, Paul?
The parking lot to the west would not be a park.
According to Al Rushdie, it will be.
Yeah, according to the master plan.
Just part of the master plan, so that's why I'm...
To the west?
Yep.
So we have a freestanding condominium in a park. Wow.
No, that wasn't my understanding.
Wow.
Yeah, both lot 44 and, what's the other one, 25? Are shown in the sector plan as being parks. And we may even have a couple of people here in the room who are going to want to see them be parks. I was talking about Robert.
The whole side.
Yeah.
There you go. This is the project right here.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So we have a freestanding master plan like that?
Freestanding condominium with units that are like row homes, freestanding in a park.
Wouldn't it be more likely that the parking lots be developed into a park before this house gets put into a park?
Talk about, there should be land swaps, et cetera, in terms of the way you would then configure this thing so that that this project isn't completely surrounded by parks.
Yeah.
And that would be then adjacent to built form as opposed to, you know, Mother Nature.
Makes the units pretty valuable.
Well, not really. It's you know, fishbowl.
Yeah.
It's fishbowl living. I mean, in a weird sort of way.
But we can only control what we can control.
No, I understand that. Look, I'm saying is that with swapping lands, et cetera, it wouldn't then be surrounded. It would be adjacent to a street or an address, et cetera. Because right now we put the short end on the address. I mean, just rotating it so that it has north-south as opposed to east-west. Then you'd have a street, i.e. West Virginia. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, you're taking, you know, geometries and rotating them around. So now we have a street, and then we have buildings on a street, and then we have parks, you know, around.
We'd love to have that flexibility. Yeah.
Yeah. Because no, but I mean, it's.
Well, I'm going to ask a $64 question here. You talked about having an alternate plan with a 35-foot height, but only a 35-foot greenway and an exciting optional plan. Could I derive from that this approval process is really a wedge more than a realistic?
No, sir. No, sir. The project for us, I mean, it's not really appropriate to bring pro formas to these types of meetings, but the project for us stands on its own. We're proud of this project. I mean, we are boutique. Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm just trying to figure out where we can get that.
No, sir. I mean, the way we looked at it as, you know, we are looking for sites in downtown Bethesda. We said this the first time we came in to staff. We are looking for sites in downtown Bethesda to differentiate ourselves from the, you know, the BF Sauls, the JBGs that are building these 400-unit rental buildings. We want to build townhouse-style condominiums. We think that there is a dearth of large, well-priced units in this location. And so that has been our strategy for the past year, is to target sites that are like this. And so this part of Bethesda really attracted us because of all of the retail and stuff that was happening on the other side of Wisconsin Avenue, and really allowed for us to build a 35-foot tall condominium townhouse type building, and to provide that type of unit to empty nesters or executives or other folks that you know, don't want to spend $1,000 a square foot to live in the Cheval or to you know, to be in you know, the Lauren or the new Toll Brothers building. So
when Broad Branch explained this to us the first time too, and we had follow-up meetings with their contractor and their realtor as well. We talked more about the verticality of the nature of this typology and how sometimes the challenging thing with condominiums, besides the fact of the exorbitant condo fees that they carry. So someone potentially selling their house for whatever reason or moving to this area to be in downtown Bethesda, they're potentially moving into a condominium, buying a large unit with exorbitant condo fees and then very little outdoor space and potentially no privacy or home-like feel within their unit themselves. This typology offers a different feel where it feels more like your own permanent home. You get outdoor space above the tree line in this neighborhood. And also because of the way that it's set up, there's very little operating fees. There's no common amenities other than a central lobby and mail. So it's a great opportunity for a new typology.
How large are the units typically?
About 3,000 square feet.
So that's not that's
three good. Floors with an elevator. Mm-hmm. Each one has an elevator.
Yes, sir, for direct access for the private parking.
They're going to sell these things, three stories.
Yeah.
Aging.
Yep.
So there is a problem.
I can relate to that.
I can relate to that. we'll have that elevator.
Walking to the new grocery stores across the street.
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at the site plan, it's so obvious that it should be built here on a street. With
if you own the property.
But in a sense, this is sort of a negotiation with this woman who owns the property next door that puts this thing in a little bit of limbo now.
Well, the parking lot on the other side.
So I think, from my standpoint, the concept, no problem with the concept. I think it's a fine concept. But I think what's a little misleading, though, is that the rendering is showing this building on two lots, but you don't have that second lot. Can become part of it. So I think the rendering should show, the site plan should be
initial phase
with single family house next to it, so we can kind of see how it all interacts.
I don't disagree with that, but we were specifically asked to show a design that
integrate
that relates to that. We were asked to do a plan that did exactly as we're showing.
Fair enough, the probability is there is probability that house will be there for the foreseeable future, right?
Well, the problem with, and we identified this going through the sector plan, is what is the leverage for getting the property owners along that greenway? What is the, to sell their property? And, you know, the carrot or the stick type of thing, and we've struggled with that all along, is how do we deliver that greenway without public money condemning the properties? It's tough. It's hard. I mean,
you're
we've tried.
But I don't necessarily agree with you, sir. We think that, we've done extensive research on the property. The woman is in financial trouble. I mean, I'll be completely honest about
easy
it.
On that.
But I think that, you know, we think that if we close on this property, we've probably have the leverage to get it. I mean, but we think that the project stands, you know, well on its own. I mean, I mean.
Yeah, we just wanted to show how the design will integrate with a future greenway, but it doesn't need to be there today. And before, when I mentioned an AB, what we discussed with staff is that when we go to site plan, just to show the differences between if it is a greenway today or if it's not a greenway today, it still can integrate with the existing condition. What would change is where you saw those multiple stoops coming down, that would be landscaped differently because you couldn't take a stoop and go down to a neighboring property.
You can't go on someone
today.
Else's property.
Yeah.
That's permission.
Yes. So that's what would change is the main change would be where you see those stoops coming down. That would just be landscaped differently.
If you go to the section, you can see, I mean, we have enough dimension here. We've held back enough that we could landscape and we could do a careful hedge or some sort of screening device that could still integrate and not be obtrusive to the neighbor and still give these homes privacy and access. So I think it's flexible enough in that regard. And I think that's when we.
I can see a future with that house going away. I cannot see a future with a park on the western side of this building. There's no way.
No.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well,
and that cannot work. And you'll have the back of a building facing onto a park, and it just won't work.
No.
Huh? We don't disagree with you.
You have to have a building with four fronts on it.
Yeah.
Paul, we don't disagree with that, but the.
But Paul, that's what the plan is.
I know. That's what I'm.
And I even went. I've talked to Al about this, and he said, "Let's be very clear about it. These are going to be parks."
An interior park.
I think we know as well as we all do that this would be designed differently. I think if this included all the other properties.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because then it would be on a street. It would be on Dilbert Street.
A straight road like this. It would be much different.
And that's on my wish list. Believe me, I would love to have that flexibility.
Sorry, I have a question about parks.
Sure.
Since there's no solution on the table, just for the sake of humor, have you ever offered to like. Swapping a lot from this lady because you're gonna tear down this relatively new single family house which is over $1 million and she's living in tiny small house and because from park perspective
right
first of all you know I'm new to the agency but I'm hearing that like we condemned only one property ever in our history so it's really less likely and second of all yes like for us having a contiguous park space is the key, and we don't want to have like three chopped space, you know, scattered around. That doesn't really work well for us. So I'm just trying to find a solution as much as possible. How we can make a contiguous land to gain, you know, usable park space. So like swapping the parcel is.
Well,
that would be at odds with the greenway.
Yeah, that would eliminate greenway.
So that's my guess. We wouldn't support that again. Okay.
The master plan's very specific about an eastern greenway here.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if they wanted to offer one of their units to the lady, that's a different
idea. We tried that.
We've tried that.
The swap would be with DOT. The swap, because you would put the townhouses next to the buildings on Wisconsin.
Right. The challenge.
And then parks or DOT would have to build the park on the parking lot.
Right. I'm just wondering,
I mean, in the way they're configured right now in this plan, it doesn't work. In the master plan, it doesn't work.
The master plan doesn't work. It didn't. It should. You're all right. It should. All of the green should be, you know, on the end. It didn't make sense to have that park where it's planned.
No, we disagree with you. I mean, there was a very clear direction in this entire process for that to be green. And it connects both north and south, and so. Yeah.
Well, that's right. That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not arguing that.
Well, it sounded like you were.
No. I think what he was saying is that this should be on the parking lot.
This park.
No. And then you can have a contiguous green, a larger
should have
greenway.
An enlarged green.
A larger greenway.
A larger greenway.
That's what I'm saying.
But right now we're the victims of the master plan.
Sell the parking lot for private development. Use that money to buy some more
greenway.
The parking lot didn't extend all the way over here.
No.
To the greenway. That did have a gap.
Yeah. But we're just building to the master plan.
We're in the gap.
County owns the parking lot.
And the greenway is only, it's only requested to be 35 feet. So, that's if there's a section where you can see it.
Well, the woods is.
That's from the face of curve, that's 35 feet in. So there is some potential usable land on that single family.
I'd like to point out one thing also. there's a big challenge to that parking lot becoming a park. We'd love to see that happen. We'd love to be involved in that process. But DOT
once that parking replaced underground, something has to pay for that, and that's a tremendous expense. We are in the best position to make something like that happen, but of course, we need to get something out of it. We've contemplated this, but it is challenging because we need multiple agencies to cooperate, right? There's DOT.
And private property owners, yeah.
That's right.
We do have a plan for that. We're still working on it. And we think that, we've talked to Park and Planning about it briefly. And so we hope to make headway there. But obviously, this project needs to stand on its own. We think it does. We've worked very hard to design the project within the scope of the sector plan.
Well, that is it in a nutshell. I mean, we would like to have a broader, bigger assemblage to play with, if you will, that would, from an urban design standpoint, I think everybody would probably agree, would make for, an overall better plan. But in the meantime, with this site, it needs to work, and we need to be able to demonstrate conformance with the sector plan. And what I'm hearing here is some concerns about us conforming with the sector plan, in essence, which is a bit of an unusual situation for me, at least. Usually you're telling me I don't conform with the sector plan.
I'm hearing more about compatibility than Bob, more so than I am.
But
how do you make
the site compatible when it's bookended by master plan parks?
Right, so to be clear, what I've heard in terms of direct comments are that the project should show the interim and the future condition, but not necessarily comments on the actual revision of the proposed project itself. Are there direct comments on?
Well, I think Paul has a really good comment about the fact that if that becomes a future park, then you got the back of these units looking
okay,
into
so
that
the
park.
Back of the units
right. What's wrong with
the
that?
Park.
Well, as long as then you have to...
The back of the units need to address the fact that they may be a park in the future.
Okay.
Yeah. But units back to a park.
Are there going to be living rooms or bedrooms or not necessarily a nasty thing?
You mean on the west side? So
that's a condition that exists in a lot of places where you... a lot of what is strange here and seems unprecedented is not unprecedented in urban areas, but this is an area that's changing so rapidly and becoming urban. So it feels like something that is unseen and unprecedented when in fact it's not, but it's just new to this particular area.
The new urban park guidelines would suggest that this building does not work because it doesn't front on the potential new park to the west.
But it fronts on the one to the east. It's underground.
I hear you. And I'm saying this because it's an impossible solution.
Well, that's why
it's an impossible solution.
It's a garden apartment solution, unfortunately, because that's a building that
has two sides.
That's a whole different kettle of fish, though.
I find
the most concerning is the lack of play inside and outside. It's a very taut building.
Yep.
And I'd like to see balconies and other facade. Dresses, so etc. And the ones that they showed in terms of their precedents had deeper units. Which meant that they could have balconies, they could have recessed balconies, they could have additive, but because their building had to get so narrow, it had to be taught. That's the way I'm reading
it. If this were actually a park space,
well, then you would have
public use in perpetuity.
Yeah.
There could be unlimited windows.
Yeah. Right. We'd be able to do a lot of different stuff.
You would
right
have
now,
lots.
Because it's a parking lot, we have
we
to
can't
deal
do
with
that.
At-risk
windows
and all
opening.
That. So we could add situations in bathrooms and things like that.
Glass, it could become another frontage if it
block windows and if there was a bar. Nature.
Exactly, but
it couldn't
but
be.
But presumably you'd be built by that.
But the bar got narrow, right?
Yeah. The bar is with the property.
Yeah.
But the greenway is only 35 feet, so there is wiggle room between your property line and that, let's say, build two line for exactly. In which case, the typology would be a much more interactive set of facades with the inside and the outside and some personal spaces at different levels, and not just only on the roof.
Right.
It would be a different project.
But, well, but the greenway
blank,
doesn't have to be 35.
To west with
the greenway is not necessarily 35 feet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because building height is directly correlated to the width of the greenway.
Exactly. So. All I'm saying is you could get a thicker building, which would give you a lot more flexibility and a better plan, quite frankly,
if we, in
the units, right? Because you could get closer to that 35-foot line. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're going to have a freestanding building surrounded by parks, you'd prefer to have a lot more intermediate space between the taut wall and the parks.
Well, we'd love that. We'd love that. Right. We'd love to have more space and density to work. We'd love that.
I think the key is
it's a better building.
And Bob keeps saying this project needs to stand on its own.
Yeah.
And then if each one then.
Would have, could have, should have, right?
Yeah, we'd love to include the property to the west, to the east. That would be great. We could do so much more.
And if we had a bit, obviously if we had a larger assemblage, there'd be a lot more flexibility in the plan.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing that even if that overall assemblage wasn't exactly in accordance with the sector plan, it would have contiguous park space and other things that would probably make everybody happy, and I'm looking to our community representatives because they would be part of that process.
Well, I'm happy to speak towards this. One moment before you do. Are there any other comments from the panel before we open?
Actually, I would like to hear what these Bethesda representatives have to say about the project.
Okay, great. So I will say at the community meeting, there was generally a fair amount of support for this project. Going back to the master plan, we knew with this location, everything that's coming up today, we knew this was going to be an issue. And thinking about the way the project is, it reminds me a lot of 8000 Wisconsin, where you're dealing with the project coming in with conditions on either side of it that you don't really have as much control over, right? With the 8000 project, there was already a building approved on one side, and already a building approved on the other, and you had to work with. So we're in sort of that same situation, but in a totally different context, because now we're talking about green space instead of buildings on either side. I'm not as concerned with the back of the building facing the supposed future parking lot park, because I think there are things that can be done to address that, and hopefully other projects, if and when they come in, they will also have to address that. So where the Benihana is, if that ever gets redeveloped, they will have to address that with that side of that building. Again, there's other things that can be done, more windows, artistic features, so that it doesn't just look like the back side of a building facing a park. There's a situation in downtown Crown where there are townhouse units backing to their main park, and it looks junky. They've got their trash out there, they've got their garage entrances out there. It doesn't look good. In this case, I think it could be made to look good. So that's not so much a concern. Again, the greenway, you don't necessarily have control over it. There would be a lot of neighborhood support, though, for it to be delivered in conjunction with the project. People are going to really question what's going to happen if the project's delivered without the greenway, and if there's no plan in place to actually have that greenway delivered. Yeah. So I'm going to let Paige speak to it.
I agree with everything Amanda says. I actually live on West Virginia. I'm maybe 4 or 5 houses from here.
On the other side of Tilton.
the other side of Tilbury, yeah. Correct, on West Virginia, mm-hmm. The other side. This is so beautiful if this were going to happen. I do not know the owner. I know rumors of the owner. Good luck. So assuming that it doesn't happen, because you're going to want to go before she's going to want to give kind of thing. I worry about where you're going to bring the trash. How is that coming out? You're going to have everybody's trash right there. It looks like you have an answer, yeah. So we'll just pass by that. It's a lovely project, and I can't speak for everybody on the street, but I'm really happy with it. I appreciate that you guys have really addressed the parking issue, and thank you so very much for that. So we're happy with it. Yeah, we hope that you're able to move forward with it. We hope you're able to greenway it out.
To answer your question on the trash, the plan is to put in the garage next to the elevators to put individual trash cans next to each private elevator that's in the garage. And then we are in the lobby going to have a concierge there who's going to be there 7 days a week. And what he will do is he will have a bin that is next to the commercial elevator on the West Virginia side in the garage. And he will... twice a week we'll have we'll go and pick up each of the individual trashes, and when the trash company pulls up twice a week, he or she will roll up and push it out and so there will never be any trash on the street at any time.
Not unlike what happens on the ground floor of a new multifamily building, because the ground floor residents of a new multifamily building cannot put their trash in the trash chute, because it stops at the first floor, so they have valet pickup.
Right.
That's what happens.
And so the county, you're going to have your own private trash?
Private trash. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, we have one more public comment, too.
Oh, just really briefly. My name's Adam Thomas. I'm from South Bethesda, the Saxon neighborhood, for Leland and Bradley. We've been trying to do very similar things in our neighborhood, and we've had a lot of resistance, so I came to get some inspiration. But I'm very supportive of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So are there further thoughts for the panel?
I think that the west elevation of this building has to be designed and has to be articulated as a front as much as possible. That means no blank panels like they're showing. And it's unfortunate. I think I unfortunately had our final draft of the master plan rather than the council's. So the council, I guess.
Yeah, there's a
difference.
What's your final draft?
It's clean.
It doesn't have
that parcel. I never knew that park was there.
Yeah. You should see my version of the subject.
But, I understand the park at the end. That's fine. This is a ridiculous, shouldn't be talking like that. But anyway, but it has to have a front. If that's going to be facing onto a park, I think you got to have a front on it. And balconies potentially,
absolutely.
But certainly windows and no blank walls.
Right. We've already talked about that. It's a sketch
window coverage.
Placeholder right now.
Yeah.
Design
could be tough.
We're going to have a similar conversation then as the last one. Do you think that they need to make those revisions at sketch plan and come back? Or do you think that they should go and... Okay.
I have one other comment that I made earlier to this group. The portion that's facing Chase Avenue Urban Park, they have essentially an innie entry stoop that's the interior to the building. I think the building should move back that amount of space because, as you can see, there's shrubs planted there and everything. I don't think you're going to be able to plant those shrubs in the paper alley itself. You'd have to plant them essentially on your property.
Can you show that on the sketch up there?
So I think if that face is built on the actual property line of the paper alley, then I think that face needs to be backed up so you can plant. This essentially what's happening is this little garden is on the paper alley, and that little garden is on the paper alley, and that's.
There's,
and I don't think you can just assume that will happen.
We're going to be on the hook probably for a maintenance and liability agreement for that alley anyways, because we're going to put something that's not
Well, if that's the case, then you can plan on it, and that's a different, but I'm assuming you can't.
Well, I think we have to pursue that because, like, if we're going to put some sort of pavers that are not.
We're talking about new treatments.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
So we're going to have to.
We have to find out the specific details of what we're allowed.
So my point
they might
was
be potted plants. They might not be in ground.
Well, my point
plants.
is that this first floor should back up and making the stoops then exterior to the facade of the building, and then having the gardens in between on your own property, and then possibly having bay windows or something above that could get back some of the square footage that you're losing.
Yeah, that was
on the first floor. You could gain back that square footage above, you know, by.
That was my immediate concern. Is this that's valuable square footage?
I don't know that we can. We're getting.
Let's look at DOT
a PIE, right?
Well, it'd be an M&L agreement. We do them for non-standard things in the public.
Because we can maybe accomplish what you're talking about in the alley. Because
if that alley just, you know, at least perceptually goes away and it becomes garden and becomes part of the park, that's the best out. I think
that's the highest.
But I just want to make sure if it has to remain either as a lawn or even paving or whatever, I think you need some front, some semi-public front to those two units.
Well, I actually also think that particularly the park elevation, or the elevation that faces the park, seems very flat to me.
Yeah,
and right. I would recommend that where you have those gray colored elements, if they could have greater depth to them, I think it would help that elevation.
Well, that's what I've been saying all along. The biggest problem is that the bar has gotten very narrow. That's why you went to a taut skin as opposed to one that it has more depth to it, etc.
Yeah, I think we could all agree that it's site plan. We would want something a little more detailed.
Some more articulation.
Is there any reason you can't project into that walkway area on the east side of the wall?
On the east side.
Which side?
The east side.
On the east side? Yeah. Well, if we project it out, then we need to be 10 feet back to have enough window.
No, that's what I'm talking about. A balcony projection. Or even
taking those gray areas and adding some greater depth to them.
Mm-hmm. Related to that is, this is an unsolicited design suggestion, but since that's a walkway and everybody's been concerned about looking into windows, you do seem to have enough, a 2 or 3 foot planted area along the base of the building might give a perception of privacy to your owners. Mm-hmm. You just enter it through the doors, right where the doors are.
That's something we look at.
There are some things that don't really allows to above grade and project perhaps into that alley as well. Mm-hmm.
On the south side.
Small projections are allowed in the right of way. So we can look at that too. Get a couple extra feet.
So your property line actually ends with the white terrace.
The white.
And what's that depth?
That's 10 feet.
And that's, so you can't project out into that 10 feet.
Right. We wouldn't be able to get enough window.
You have that property next door. Sure.
Then it would look completely different.
Exactly.
What is the setback requirement?
Well, we need 10 feet to be able to get more than 25%
window
fenestration. Yeah.
And then we have fire access.
Yeah, but other
we have other considerations too.
We got fire too.
We have fire, so
yeah. Fire and life safety.
Yes, you could do that.
We've also had meetings with fire marshal, with DPS.
Yeah.
Because of the complicated nature of this project as well.
So we need to meet all of those requirements, fire and life safety. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're caught between a hard place and a rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there between are things that could be between a park and a park.
Theoretical park.
Yeah. Virtual
park.
A virtual park.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to summarize, it sounds like the next go round at site plan, we'd like to see more detail and more articulation, particularly facing Chase Avenue Park, and see how the entries could happen to be more semi-public on that frontage, and also look at the frontages both to the east and the west and add more articulation, and particularly on the west side not have any blank panels. Also, if you can show both the interim condition and the park condition in your renderings and drawings as well, so that
Okay.
All right, so we have a few more seconds. So in terms of the project meeting the minimum 10 points, it sounds like there are comments on the frontages in order to reach those 10 points. But otherwise, do you think that the project can meet the minimum 10 points required for exceptional design? And then we'd like to take a straw vote for those in support of the project.
Well, I'm gonna.
One abstain. And then there's support with.
No,
the
hold on a second. Mm-hmm. So, being not only the architect but the Bethesda area representative, I have to defer to my colleagues sitting against the wall. So, they're in support.
You're in support.
Yeah. Okay, so two in support. All right, and then support with conditions.
Support within conditions.
Yeah, with conditions.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So everybody, all six support with conditions. And the conditions are what I summarized. All right. There we are.
Okay. We'll see you at site plan.
Thank you all.
Or when we get more property.
Yes.
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 Park on that.
Please.